Well, just a few minutes ago, we got some unbelievable economic numbers. The U.S. leading economic indicators have plunged for the 29th month in a row. It's worse than COVID lockdowns. And right now, the Democratic National Convention kicking off in Chicago, where you will have Democrats and Kamala Harris trying to distance themselves from Bidenomics, pretending that they had nothing to do with the last 3.5 years of government policies, which have gotten us here. Skyrocketing inflation, of course, prices up over 20% for just about everything in your family, from gas prices, of course, to food on your table, to rent, to electricity, to energy costs. It's been a disaster. But they're telling you that, hey, when Kamala Harris is elected president, all of that will go away. Right. But she's in power now, so it really doesn't make much sense. Right now, we're also swimming in massive amounts of credit card debt. And the United States, average Americans right now have used up almost all of their savings. Really, really troubling. On top of all of that, the Federal Reserve is meeting right now in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, to discuss inflation, to discuss interest rates being slashed. So a lot of economic news that we want to sift through today right now on the economy. And for that, someone who's deeply plugged into what's happening with the U.S. dollar, what's happening with inflation, what's happening with precious metals, and all of it is Kevin DeMeritt. He is the CEO of Lear Capital, and he joins us. Great to check in with you, Kevin. Great to see you here on the show.
Yeah, great to be on the show, Clayton.
Well, you're here at an interesting time because tonight, Monday, we've got the DNC kicking off. We've got Jackson Hole, Wyoming with the Fed meeting right now on the recession and inflationary numbers. But I just wanted to get your take on Kamala Harris, because unbelievable sort of bombshell this past week when she comes out and announces that when she's elected president, price controls, like communist era price controls, is what she's going to employ to get these companies from stop charging you so much money when you go to the grocery store. What did you think initially when you heard this?
It absolutely has to be the dumbest idea I've ever heard. I mean, you just have to crack open a history book and you can go back and look at every country who's ever tried it, and it doesn't work. And it doesn't work because you're controlling one part of the price equation, which is the top price, the price you and I pay for goods and services. So if I stop companies being able to increase their prices, but their cost of goods continue to increase, then at some point they don't make any money, they go out of business. Or like we saw in the 70s, the government comes to their senses and says, oh my gosh, we can't continue this price controls because everybody's going to go out of business. So we're going to stop the price controls, and then what happens? Prices go completely out of control because now they have to make up for the lost ground to stay in business, and prices just skyrocketed in the 70s. We had inflation up around 15%. So this is just an incredibly stupid idea that's not going to work. It's going to make matters much, much worse. The other part that I will say is she's concentrating on the wrong problem. The definition of inflation forever and still is too much money chasing too few goods. They caused too much money to be printed. Now you have that too much money chasing the too few goods. That's a cause of inflation. If you want to concentrate on the problem, you got to slow down the money supply a little bit.
A couple of things to unpack there. I think what you said was brilliant, specifically on the prices, going back to the 1970s. And if you look at grocery stores, she's really been focusing on grocery stores. She's really trying to be relatable, you know, on these speeches. She's like, you know, I know it. You go to buy bacon, it's just more expensive. You go to buy milk, I see it, as if she's trying to distance herself from the past 3.5 years. But grocery stores specifically, I mean, they operate on a 1-2% net margin. My father used to run a grocery store. He owned a grocery store. They didn't make very much money, and they can't survive if their suppliers raise prices. So the government announces that food producers, you know, you have these big food producers like ConAgra and Tyson and Hormel, they aren't going to be allowed to raise any sort of prices. So not all grocery stores, I mean, they're not going to survive at all. You have these very minimal net margins that they have actually survived on. This idea that grocery stores are just jacking up the prices, it's ridiculous.
Well, look, grocery stores don't live on high margins. Farmers don't live on high margins. The chicken has no idea how much the food costs, right? He's putting out an egg that's up 20%. It's not the chicken that's the problem. It's too much money chasing too few goods. And the cost of everything to get that food to the chicken, to keep the chicken in a cage, to get the egg to the market with gasoline and a truck and so on and so forth, all of that's gone up. And she's saying, hey, look, I'm just going to stop the price of the egg going up. It's not the problem. It's the money that's chasing the egg. and all the other goods and services along that come along with it to get it to market. That's the problem. So this just does not work. It hasn't worked in history. It's not going to work here. And if she does the price controls, you will have a worse inflation problem, just like we had in the 70s, in 9-10 months when she releases the price controls.
We also had the Biden administration a few months ago changing the definition of recession, right? They changed the definition so that we can't call it a recession. And then they even like changed the Wikipedia page for the word recession. And now that page is locked. It's hilarious. Like if you just want to, you just move the goalpost on what it means to be in a recession. Do you think we are in a recession and or a depression? And how, if not, is it, do you think it's going to get better or worse in the next few months?
Well, first of all, they've been changing the definition of words and the formulas for words all the time. I mean, they've changed the definition and the words for inflation or the formula for inflation for years now just to try to keep inflation down. So if you went back to the old formula, inflation would still be at, you know, 9 to 11%, depending on which formula you're using and from the old days. But everyone's talking about recession, no recession. It makes absolutely no sense. People have to wake up here. There is a recession coming. I'm not sure we're in it yet, but we're extremely close. Number one, you've got an indicator that's been 100% accurate for 100 years, which is an inverted yield curve. That inverted yield curve can't tell me exactly when the recession is coming, but it's a 100% chance that there is one coming, and it's fairly soon. The second is, not only do you have these indicators out there starting to fall off a cliff, but you have the IMF, which is, you know, it's kind of independent, at least, you know, looks at all countries. They're forecasting U.S. economic growth of 2.6% for 2024, which is off by about 0.1%. But next year, it's off by 26%. So they're forecasting 1.9% economic growth. That's a 26% difference in growth. That's a recession, and it's coming. Now, look, I'm in the world of precious metals, so everybody says, well, you're probably kind of a little bit negative on the economy because of precious metals. Well, first of all, they've been outperforming the stock market since 2000. So it doesn't matter if there was a recession or not. This money printing is causing the price of precious metals to increase. But here's a guy, Jamie Dimon, who's the CEO of JP Morgan Chase, that says, and I quote, "I've been pointing to geopolitics, housing, deficits, spending, quantitative tightening, all these things could cause some consternation in the markets. I give a 35 to 40% chance that we will have a soft landing." Meaning, if you think of it the opposite way, he's giving it about a 60% chance that we're going to have a recession. I keep saying, look, if you gave me a parachute and the guy says, look, there's a 60% chance the parachute isn't going to open, I'm not jumping out of the plane. Right. But these are your retirement. This is people's retirement and their savings. And you have, based on what he's saying, a 60% chance there's going to be some problems in the economy, you know, over the next 12 to 18 months. So, it's a guy I'd listen to when he's talking about things like recession, because he's not in the business of wanting a recession when you own a large bank.
Well, I always say here and on my other channel, you know, talking about investing, I mean, it's like, God, my wife and I, we have our IRAs, we have our children's IRAs, our self-directed IRAs, and they're, you know, heavy with precious metals and real estate. Like that's what we, you know, that's what we invest in, tangible assets, and, you know, which has outpaced inflation. So that's something we talk about all the time. And then the Fed, of course, is going to be meeting right now in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And I want to get your take on this, Kevin. They're going to be talking about a recession, whether or not we're in one, whether we can protect ourselves from getting to one. In a slashing of interest rates here in September, it seems likely that that's going to happen. I mean, we even see maybe a couple interest rate slashings over the course of the next couple of months. So what do you think that will do to the economy right ahead of the election? It's like giving a gift, I think, to Kamala Harris for the election by the Fed slashing these interest rates. And also the U.S. dollar, the big de-dollarization process right now. I mean, countries, BRICS countries, they're dumping the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency of the world, and they're partnering with themselves, saying we're done being bullied by the United States and the U.S. dollar. So what do you think we're going to see out of this Fed meeting, and what's your sense as we head into the fall?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, Jerome Powell's kind of walking a tightrope. So he, on one hand, he's got the U.S. economy going into a recession soon, if I had to guess. So he's thinking about lowering interest rates to try to keep that from happening. And on the other side, he's got enormous amounts of central banks liquidating dollars and purchasing other assets, a lot of gold right now, but they're liquidating the U.S. dollar into the economy, into the market. which could cause a lot of inflation. So if he lowers interest rates here in the U.S. too much, then those central banks who are already selling are going to sell more. Those dollars are going to come to the United States. And again, the definition of inflation is too much money chasing too few goods. Those dollars chase goods. The inflation rate stays higher. So he's got a real tightrope here. They put themselves in this position, Clayton, by printing up so much money. It's just unbelievable, right? We're drowning in a record $35 trillion in debt with interest payments this year, almost at $1 trillion. We're borrowing $2.5 trillion just to pay the interest on the debt. So, you know, lower interest rates would help that out, but it's not going to help these central banks selling dollars, which could cause even more inflation. So he's got a really kind of a tough situation to try to maneuver through. I feel like we're in the cartoon with, you know, the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote, where, you know, Wile E. runs off the cliff and he's just hanging there. And then, you know, he drops to the bottom. We're waiting for the drop to the bottom here.
It's really troubling. And, you know, the de-dollarization continues. So they can do all they want, talk about inflation. Kamala can talk about putting in a housing, you know, we're going to talk a little bit later in the show tonight about her housing plan, which is just a ripoff of Soviet era style housing, like what Justin Trudeau has done up in Canada, a disaster. So they're going to just throw billions more dollars into this mix while these other countries are just running away from the U.S. dollar. I mean, how scared are you? Like, once all of these countries back away from the U.S. dollar, where are those U.S. dollars that they're dumping? Where are they going to go?
Yeah, it's a great question. You look right now, and I had this statistic right before the show here. It says the share of U.S. dollar reserves held by central banks fell to 58.4%, the lowest since 1999. On average, it was right around 80%. So this has fallen by 25%. People ask me, why is this important? Why are you so nervous about these countries selling dollars? Those dollars go someplace and they come back to the United States. So I make this example for people. If you took Apple shares and there was $1 billion worth of Apple shares, and you had $1 billion worth of Apple shares, 500 billion here in the United, or 500 million here in the United States, and 500 million outside the United States, that for 50 years basically hasn't been sold. That's the world's reserve currency, and those, let's say they're Apple shares. And after 50 years, those central banks that own those Apple shares say, hey, look, I'm just going to liquidate the Apple shares. I don't want them anymore. What happens to the value of Apple? It's going to crash 50%. So more money is held outside, more U.S. currency is held outside the United States than inside the United States. One big reason is because of the petrodollar. All countries have to use the U.S. dollar to go buy oil. And the Saudis have said, basically, I don't know if I want to continue with this petrodollar situation. We might want to work with the BRICS countries, so on and so forth. If those countries don't have to hold those dollars and they start liquidating them, what happens to the value of the dollar here in the United States when you flood the market with those dollars? It's going to be the same thing that if you flood, you know, the Apple shares that these central banks were holding back into the economy. Apple crashes, the dollar crashes. It's the scariest part of the entire economy to me. It's my most worrisome thing that keeps me up at night. Because you can't do anything about it. These banks can sell. There's not a darn thing we can do about it. And all of those dollars coming back would take the inflation rate through the roof. So again, Powell has a big tightrope situation that he's got to figure out how to maneuver around so that these countries don't liquidate.
They've boxed themselves in on this. I mean, and again, we saw what happened with Japan. Last year, we bullied them into not selling their U.S. treasuries. You know, no, fine. We're just hang on to them in Japan. Now we know what a disaster that's been for them holding on to these bunk assets right now, the U.S. dollar. It's been a disaster. Kevin, you guys put together a great report at Lear. I've read it. I sent it to a bunch of friends as well. The de-dollarization report that you guys put together, and you guys have made it available for our audience. I'd love for you to share it with them if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, so we put a report together on the debt, de-dollarization, interest rates, and inflation. So just people to get educated a little bit here. What are the things that they can invest in if the dollar is going to fall, if inflation is going to stay higher for a little bit longer, if interest rates start to come down? What are some alternatives? You brought up precious metals and real estate. Look, you can print up a bunch of dollars, but you can't print gold and you can't print real estate. So those types of assets, those hard assets, are going to be some of the alternatives that people may want to look at. And that's what the report's going to go through. They can give us a phone call and get this report absolutely free. It's about 16, 18 pages long. Also, if they call or use the URL at LearRedacted.com, we're going to put $250 into their account automatically. If they purchase gold or silver, they can use it for their IRAs, all the IRA fees that the custodian charges. We'll cover that for them, or free shipping and insurance if they want home delivery. So if they give us a phone call at 800-613-3557, 800-613-3557, or go to LearRedacted.com, we'll get the report out there, put the $250 into their account, and hopefully get them a little educated on what we think at least is happening out there.
Amazing. Thank you so much for that. And yeah, it's going to be very interesting. We've got the Jackson Hole meeting right now ahead of this big September Fed meeting on slashing interest rates. As we head into this election, it's going to be a volatile situation right now. And of course, everything that we're going to hear from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, we'll be watching this platform very closely and dissecting it here on the show, as will Kevin. Kevin, great to see you as always. Thanks so much for your expertise on all of this.
You bet. Thanks for having me.